Welcome back to the second hour of Jazz for the Asking. I'm Keith Parent. Well, it's very nice to have you with me again on the program. Coming up in this hour, Anna Lundqvist from Sweden will be joining us, and we'll tell you a little bit more about her later on in the program. To begin, we are going to have some jazz from Sweden, some very early jazz from Sweden. This is a recording made by Swedish Radio in 1939, of the Charles Ledrand Orchestra playing Sugarfoot Stomp. the Johnny Man Singers with the Cy Zenter Orchestra, and the Hatsat Song. Before that, from Sweden, recorded in 1939, Charles Redland with the Sugarfoot Stomp. And this hour, we are going to stay in Sweden. A few weeks ago on the program, we featured a couple of tracks from the Anna Lundqvist Quintet. The album is called City. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I received an email from Anna thanking me for playing the music on the show. Well, of course, I'm going to ask her to do an interview. We recorded an interview this past week, and we will take a listen to more tracks from this fantastic album. Let's begin with Monday's The Best Day.
Childhood belongs.
The CD is called City. When did you decide that this was a career that you wanted to go into, becoming a jazz vocalist?
I've been singing all my life. In the beginning, it was more classical music. I come from a classical background. Both my parents are classical musicians, and when I started to sing, my voice was perfect for the classical singing. And so, but when I was like 16, my friends started to play jazz, and I got interested about improvising and being free. And with my interests in the music from the 60s and 70s, like Led Zeppelin and The Doors, I could combine my two, the energy from my rock and roll, and also I liked the more hip-hop, old-school hip-hop, and I liked the energy, and I could combine that with the jazz. I could express myself and those kind of energies through the jazz. So I started to write songs and play with the band, and yeah, after a year I've changed. I stopped singing classic music and just continued with jazz, and it's been like that ever since.
When you were starting off, you know, something that you hear from many singers is usually earlier on in their career, they will sing songs that were made popular, let's say, by other singers. It could be, for example, if you take, say, Canadian vocalist Diana Krall. When she started, she was doing songs that were made popular by Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan. Did you do the same thing earlier on?
Yeah, when I started out, I was in college, music college, and I changed to a teacher that was more into Afro singing and jazz. So, of course, it's like part of the school of starting being a jazz musician. You start up with listening to the old legends. So I've been listening to all of them, Billy, Sarah Vaughan, and of course singing the American Book songs. But pretty early I started to write my own songs. But of course in the background and still on jam sessions, I sing the American Songbook songs.
Is there any particular songwriter or singer of that generation that has had a big influence on you?
Yeah, I have some influential persons. It's been changing over the years, but like Charles Mingus, I love him very much. It's all about this energy once again, and his attitude that I find myself in. And Nina Simone has also been a great role model, both as a person and as a singer.
Now, for the songs that you write, where do you get inspiration from? I mean, as I said a moment ago, Sweden has a very strong jazz history and jazz culture.
Here in Sweden, I've been seeing like a person that's more, I mean, the vocal jazz nowadays, not only in Sweden, but it's very broad, and it's not a lot of vocalists that sings in a traditional way. It's more like jazz pop or jazz singer-songwriter. It's reaching towards other genres. But I like to have one foot still in the tradition forms, and that you can hear in the songs that and the music. It's still built up like in the old days with a chorus with a melody, and then it's solo, and then it ends often with a chorus with a melody again. But my influentials it could be anything. I mean, I listen to so much different kind of music, like hip-hop and classical music, and of course rock and roll and Led Zeppelin and all that. So when I write music, it just comes out, and I never, now I'm gonna write a up-tempo swing song. I never think like that. I just write, and it comes out.
The first time that I listened to the CD, because like I said, the CD City, which is we'll hear selections from on the show today, I came across the CD totally by accident. Yeah. And I remember listening to it the first time thinking, I don't just hear jazz in it. I hear so many different things. Because you mentioned that you have so many different influences. You listen to rock, you listen to the classical, you like hip hop and everything else, and that's what I hear when I listen to it.
Good, then it's true then. Everybody wants to categorize what you do. I mean, and I think maybe we need to do that in papers, and when you get reviews, they need to explain the music, and they need to, and when they, this singer Anna Lundqvist, and what does she do? Well, it's like, it's more traditional stuff. It's not so much they need to. Then I just end up maybe between two different chairs. It's not ultra modern, and it's not old tradition swing. It's something in between, and I like to keep the traditions, but I don't want to keep the tradition by singing the old songs. I want to write new songs, but still keeping the forms, the jazz forms. You understand what I mean?
put together your group, is it difficult in Sweden to find players for this kind of project?
No, as you said, Sweden is an excellent country. I don't know why, really, but all over the world we have a really good reputation about the Swedish quality in the musicians. I don't know why, but they're brilliant. So it's not a problem to find musicians in Sweden. Maybe sometimes in the town you live, because you need to have musicians from your own town. There's not economy enough to have members from all over the country. But I love my band, and I have chosen each one of them to be with me. I didn't know everybody from the beginning. I heard them, and then I asked them if they wanted to play with me in the band. So I put them together like that. And now the band has played together for it's the sixth year now. And it's just growing, and development is fantastic.
Now, you said that you're writing songs. When you go into the studio to record something, or you're performing it live, let's say it's the first time you're doing it, and you give the chart to your band, are you ever surprised to think, oh, this is even a lot better than I thought it would, because they're taking it to a different level?
Exactly.
Or when you go into the studio, or you're performing live, do you vision something in your own head that it turns out to be totally different?
Well, actually, both. Sometimes it turns out better than I thought it could be, and sometimes I have a very strict arrangement that I want to keep. But often I just have this vision of the energy, or feeling I want in the song. I usually just write down the melody, the chords, and maybe often some bass line that came up in my head. And maybe in the beginning it starts like that, but after some gigs, often the song changes from gig to mm-hmm. another. So we like to, and also the tempo can be different from time to time. And I like it like that, because you need to keep it that open to find new things and just let the music be alive.
When you're performing, what is your favorite environment to perform in? Is it recording, or is it live? Now, I've heard musicians before who've told me, they said they perform live and it's okay, but they like performing in a studio because they can control everything.
I think it's the other way around for me. I mean, live is what you want to do when it happens, when you create in the moment and when you give it all. So I prefer absolutely live. And I think actually it's some kind of anxiety to be in the studio. It's fun, and it's great to have the chance to document the music and all, but it's so difficult to find that nerve and find that energy with the band when you're in different booths.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the third record that I hope will be released in late 2012, or maybe in spring 2013, is going to be a live recording, because I'd like to have that live feeling on a record.
So when you recorded, for example, the album City, did you record the album in studio as if it was live, meaning all the musicians were in the same studio, or was everybody in a separate booth?
Yeah, no, it's a live recording.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to repair maybe some phrase, everything is played together live from the beginning. Yeah, I think most jazz bands do that. Everyone that I know have played live in the studio, but you're still in different booths. You need to do that for the quality.
How do they get there? just a childish fairy tale that won't do you no harm. Well, I don't think he's suicidal. No, I just think that he don't know.
Are you just predominantly based in Sweden, or do you also travel to other countries in the Nordic region to perform, or in other parts of Europe?
We're trying to reach to Europe next year in the autumn, trying to do a change and start contacting both clubs and booking agencies to reach a bigger, because I, like a Swedish musician, you don't have a chance to live just playing your jazz music. You need to freelance all mm-hmm. genres, or like me, work as a teacher and a coach half of the time. So if you want to reach a bigger audience and just play more gigs, you need to reach outside Sweden. And it's a plan for next year. We're going to do that.
What was your reaction when you found out that a radio show that is produced in Taiwan for the international market came across your CD in Taipei?
Actually, I was so happy because, like, you go out and Google yourself sometimes if you want to look. I know that we have distribution all over the world, and I know that we have, as you said, you found the record in a store just randomly, and our distribution is like that. It's like one record going to Taiwan, one record is going to. It's not so much, but it's out there. But I never thought that I'd find something like this. Like, what is this? Is my name in some kind of radio channel? And I Googled and listened, and it's just a great thing to know that it's played so far away from me, and it's like a people asking for the music and your interest in Swedish music. It's just a big joy to be known.
have you had much airplay in other countries?
Actually, I don't know. I know it's an English channel have played us, but I have a record company that's doing all that work and sending out all the records. I don't do anything of that job, so I actually don't know where the CD's going. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't know. It's if you find like a link when you Google yourself, well, then you can find some channels like that, like I did with you.
When you're at home, like you are today, today is your day off. Are you constantly thinking of what the next album will be, or what the next performance will be, or do you need to get away from that and try to focus on something else for a bit?
Yeah, it's like a disease. Actually, you can never go offline. You're always thinking about the next movie. You need to do that to keep yourself going. It's such a hard business being in this. You always need to think, what can I do now? What's the next step? And now when I'm planning to do the next record, I need to be creative all the time. But sure, I would go crazy if I didn't take a vacation sometime and just go somewhere else, like go to the ocean and just do nothing. I think you go crazy otherwise.
And then when you're there, you get an idea for a song, right?
Yeah, you know, I have to go all the way home and write it down. Yeah, but actually, it's like the minute before you go to sleep, or when you're in the shower, is when you get the ideas that you have to go up and write it down. So, yeah, you're actually right. When you sit down with the paper, it doesn't happen anything. But then you go to bed or something like that, then it comes.
I live in the city, in the middle of it all. I'm part of the illusion that we are important. Traffic's roaring, voices and superficial choirs, just like me pretending that we are important. I long for lakes and mountains where the nature's running free, but I can stand the silence, not for long, not for a day. And I hide behind towers to ease my worried mind. Power!
And that was my conversation with Anna Lundqvist of the Anna Lundqvist Quartet. The tracks we heard there were Monday's The Best Day, Where I Belong, I Think, and the title track from the CD City, The City. If you wish to find out more information about Anna and their upcoming projects, you can find a link for them at the Jazz for the Asking site. Just look for program number 025, program 025. And of course, our website, as always, is www.pcjmedia.com. Let's now listen to Lionel Hampton with the Oscar Peterson Trio and Je ne sais pas.
Thank you.
Je ne sais pas, Lionel Hampton on Vibes, featuring the Oscar Peterson Trio. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Jazz for the Asking. If you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple. pcjmedia@gmail.com. Once again, pcjmedia@gmail.com. You can also sign up to download all these programs and subscribe to them via iTunes through our website at www.pcjmedia.com/JFTA. Once again, pcjmedia.com/JFTA. JFTA, by the way, stands for Jazz for the Asking. To close this program, we're going to play a request for Boris and Herman, also for Sandra and Ben. They would like to hear Stompy Jones by Duke Ellington. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Parent saying so long and take care.